It's time now for Green Visions, a KMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by All Energy Solar, a full-service solar installer in the Twin Ports. We're having a conversation this morning about the Great Lakes water diversion, and specifically what's called the Racine diversion, referring to Racine County in Wisconsin, Racine, the city, the county, both. It has to do with a town nearby. We're speaking this morning with Tressie Camp, who is a staff attorney with Midwest Environmental Advocates, and she joins us by telephone. Good morning, Tressie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having us.
Absolutely. For our listeners who've never heard of the Great Lakes Compact, and we'll start there and work into that diversion project in a minute, why was it created and what does it protect?
Great question to start off with. So the compact is the most recent of a long history of negotiations and collaborations with Great Lakes states and Canadian provinces, basically intended to protect the Great Lakes as a freshwater resource while also balancing the unique economic needs and other purposes and goals of the Great Lakes states and provinces.
It is important to remember, of course, when we get into the rest of this, that the Great Lakes are international waters. They're not wholly owned by the United States. Or the United States government can't lay claim to that water independently of other nations.
Absolutely. And I think looking down one further level within the United States, it's also a compact that makes sure that one state can't approve a diversion or take an action that harms the interest of all of the residents in other Great Lakes states in here in the United States.
When we talk about this Racine diversion, one of the interesting things that I've noticed in looking at the Great Lakes is that the basin for, like Lake Superior, for example, and Racine I know is on Lake Michigan, but the Lake Superior basin is not as far-reaching as one might think. The Mississippi River basin, however, is enormous and reaches actually almost to the shores of Lake Michigan.
I think that's a great point. You know, that we think of the Great Lakes as the blue spots that we might see on the map when we zoom out and look down. But whether you're talking about the Mississippi River watershed or the Great Lakes, when we're talking about the watershed as a resource, you're really percolating out into communities that we may not think of as impacted by the Great Lakes. And a big part of our challenge to the diversion, involves straddling communities, mm-hmm. which takes us even further out of what we might think of as the traditional Great Lakes communities, to communities that are partly within and partly without a Great Lakes basin, and the right that those communities have or do not have to access Great Lakes water. So now, that's a great point.
The Racine water diversion application is, I think, officially put on by the city of Racine, but it has to do with a business interest in a nearby village called Mount Pleasant. Tell us what the diversion application, what is it they're asking for?
Mm-hmm. So you pointed to the number before. So approximately 7 million gallons per day is being requested for a new development for basically an electronic zone. And the major customer that that many of us have heard of and has been discussed in the media a lot is Foxconn. So you're correct. The diversion was requested by the city of Racine. Under the Great Lakes Compact, it should be a community, a public community that's requesting a diversion. Mm-hmm. But this diversion approval is unique in that it's really the first diversion that serves only one industrial customer. So absolutely part of the compact is to balance economic and conservation interests to serve both residential and industrial customers. Mm-hmm. So the businesses that may need to use and rely upon the Great Lakes. But this is a new type of diversion in that it really was requested for totally new development that's at least at this point intended to serve one business or one customer, so the Foxconn Electronics Group.
Now, what we're talking about here, specifically the details, it projects an annual average of a daily withdrawal from Lake Michigan of 7 million gallons of water per day. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. And, actually, what you see when you talk about water use and, our state and those who may support the diversion are that amount is actually, it sounds big to all of us, but when you look at the water resources of Lake Michigan in this case as a whole, it really, for lack of a less cliche term, is a drop in the bucket and is relatively small.
Okay.
But as with so many legal cases, This is not about one company. It's not just about Foxconn or one diversion, and it's certainly not just about the volume that is projected to be used. It's about protecting the Great Lakes Compact as a whole.
Is this, in fact, a precedent-setting issue? Is this the first major diversion?
So there have been diversions approved before, but this is this would be precedent setting in terms of the way that our state is interpreting the term that we're using over and over again, public water supply purposes.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at that term, it really should be, and we argue that this is the best, intent of the compact is to balance economic and conservation interests. And then you're talking about our state for the first time interpreting public water supply purposes, interpreting that requirement to be satisfied even if there's just one industrial customer. So to that extent, it could be precedent setting not only within Wisconsin, but of course setting examples and precedent for Great Lakes states and provinces who, all want to be treated fairly under the Great Lakes Compact.
Right. And so I understand what we're talking about in terms of terminology. Is a diversion, does it also include projects similar to this, I'll say hypothetically, that would clean and return the water back to that same source? Or is a diversion, does it always mean removing water and placing it someplace else where it never returns back to the lake, for example?
Yep, that's a great question. So most diversions will involve a mixture of those things. So there's going to be what's called consumptive use. So whether it's used by residents or by industries, a certain amount of water that's taken from the Great Lakes and not returned just because it's used. But most diversions will need to satisfy what's called a return flow requirement.
Okay.
And that is certainly going to be the case with the Foxconn project if it's, if it moves forward as planned, where there is water returned. In this case, it would be returned through the Racine Water Utility to Lake Michigan. But certainly there is some water that's lost, and in the case of certain new industries, in this case Foxconn and electronics manufacturing, there are questions about pretreatment and the type of pollutants that the city of Racine will have to process and that may end up in Lake Michigan.
For me, again, as I mentioned at the top of the interview, that Mount Pleasant, the village near Racine where Foxconn is planning to build their facility, is technically in the Mississippi River Basin. It's a different watershed. So getting the water back into the Lake Michigan Basin, is that a more difficult process? I mean, they could just, I suppose, spill it into the Mississippi River Basin, but that actually would then mean an absolutely negative draw from Lake Michigan as far as the volume of water, whether or not it's a drop in the bucket. That's still a lot of water that would disappear from Lake Michigan.
So in this case, what we're talking about, Foxconn, if you look at the site, it actually straddles both the Mississippi River Basin and the Great Lakes Basin.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of both. So it's in what we call a straddling community, which means that technically the community is partly within the Great Lakes Basin. So the compact gives a presumption that those communities may be entitled to diversions and to water so long as they meet certain requirements. And that is where that public water supply purposes requirement comes in. And if you look at this site where the construction is actually requested, you're not looking too far from the Lake Michigan Basin. There's been a lot of media around potential changes in construction and water use plans, mm-hmm. and a lot of estimates about very small distances that the project would need to move to actually be completely in the basin. So you're not looking at too much of a struggle here to meet that return flow requirement and to get the water back into the Lake Michigan Basin. And the return flow requirement doesn't necessarily mean a pipe that goes directly into Lake Michigan. It can just mean a discharge back into, a watershed within the Great Lakes Basin. So that's important to remember, too.
And as you mentioned before, the city of Racine would presumably have the responsibility of treating that water, making it clean enough for the return into the Great Lakes.
Absolutely, yep.
We're speaking with Tracy Camp, who's an attorney with Midwest Environmental Advocates. And what is the role of Midwest Environmental Advocates in this diversion project process?
So we are the attorneys for a really great group of clients. So in legal terms, all of these clients are called petitioners. They submitted a petition to our Department of Natural Resources challenging the DNR's approval of this Racine diversion. So we all owe, as Great Lakes residents, thanks to these groups who are stepping up and challenging the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, Milwaukee River Keeper, Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, River Alliance, and then there's a regional League of Women Voters, like Michigan Region group that's a client as well. So these partnerships, you know, multi-state partnerships, NRDC, Natural Resources Defense Council is another one of our clients. They're a national environmental law group. So we're privileged to represent them as a client as well. And this group really demonstrates the importance and the precedent-setting nature of this diversion approval.
There are a lot of moving parts in this process. It seems to be, is it a process with all of these moving parts that sometimes seems to be looking at the trees more than the forest, or is sort of the bigger issue always in people's minds? What are the major themes being discussed as this diversion is being considered?
I think just a major theme since the beginning of this project was exceptions that are and tax incentives and other kind of breaks, either from permitting or from taxes that were being given to this company. And again, it really, you know, what I like that, you know, that phrase, looking at the forest rather than the trees, you know, disregarding what specific industry is requesting this, we have to, you know, look at this approval. Are we upholding state laws? Are we upholding the Great Lakes Compact? And there's been a theme and a discussion throughout all of this. You know, is Wisconsin doing our job under the Great Lakes Compact in upholding our state laws and upholding our responsibilities under the compact when we've, you know, invited Foxconn to our state? Mm-hmm. It's important that we continue to, you know, to develop and think about the way we want industry in our state. But we started by rolling back state permits that Foxconn needed, and now we're looking at, you know, our clients now viewing our state as not fulfilling their obligations under an international compact to protect the Great Lakes. So that's been a big theme, is just protecting the Great Lakes as a resource, upholding the interest of Wisconsin and all of our residents, and making sure that our state laws are being followed, mm-hmm. while at the same time, you know, balancing economic interests as okay. well.
The people that are involved in this process, are other provinces in Canada, for example, or Michigan or Illinois or any of the other states or the other provinces entering into this conversation at this point, or is it still sort of all in Wisconsin's camp, so to speak, to present the idea once they've worked out what they think are the wrinkles in the issue?
You know, I think we have a part of our record in this legal case include letters from other states that expressed concern about this. So I think it's important to note that it's not just Wisconsin who's leading this conversation and has a stake in this issue, that groups like New York and Pennsylvania expressed concern about DNR's interpretation and what it might mean for setting precedent under the Great Lakes Compact. So it really is, you know, it's really more than Wisconsin, and we need to respect that we're one party to an international compact. And even bigger, that international compact protecting the Great Lakes could and should be used as a resource, you know, around the world to figure out how we want to protect rare freshwater resources as we move forward into a time when water resources are going to become more scarce.
Okay. We'll have some links to some of the documents involved in this, but I want to ask you, if someone was looking to better understand the impacts of water diversions and the importance of the Great Lakes Compact, where could they find that information?
So we keep an action page on this particular case. So if you just Google our organization, Midwest Environmental Advocates, we have an action page just for the City of Racine Diversion Challenge. I'd also encourage everyone to take a look at the website for the Compact Implementation Coalition. That website is protectourgreatlakes.org. And right now, as an example for something that we can all do to protect the Great Lakes, there's a pledge both for groups and individuals to sign. And that pledge, by signing it, helps signers understand the importance of the Great Lakes Compact and what diversions mean. So those are two things that folks can do to follow up.
Fantastic. Ms. Camp, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Tressie Camp, who's a staff attorney with Midwest Environmental Advocates, working right now on the Racine Diversion, a Great Lakes Water Diversion project, and its impact on the Great Lakes Compact, a formal agreement between the Great Lakes states detailing how states and provinces work together to manage and protect the Great Lakes St. Lawrence River Basin.